Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. It's so good to see you this morning. I ask you to pray for us. We'll try to share with you what the Lord's put on our heart through the night. Found in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. And we'll start reading in verse number 46. The Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard," thank God I heard, "Amen, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said to him, 'Lord,'" things fixing to pick up now, "'that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Thank you for standing this morning. I'm going to preach on this simple Bible thought. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. I want you to notice, first of all, the passing by. The Bible said in verse number 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side a-begging." There is a passing by. I want to say in verse 46, there is the need of passing. I thank the Lord for the day that Jesus passed by. I want to say in this need of passing, he had to come your way before you could ever be saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad that he just didn't stay down in Jericho, but he came out of Jericho, headed to Jerusalem? By the way, isn't it amazing on this way of passing that Jesus left the portals of glory and came to a place like you and I live in order that sinners could be saved? Well, I'd say that we're ever indebted to the way of passing. I'm glad one day Jesus came my way. I'd had a lot of people pass by me, but thank God Jesus passed my way. There's nobody like him, and I love him and praise him. And so we see this way of passing. He passed by. The need of passing. Now notice this. He may not be back that way again. I've noticed when Jesus comes by, you better be here when he comes by. And I've also noticed when he comes by, you can get what you need because he's there. Now, I am Baptist from top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But, honey, the Baptist hadn't done nothing but just really caused me some problems through the years. But Jesus, I want to say, is right on time, each time, and every time. I'm glad Jesus came our way. Thank God that he loved me enough that he would come by the way of passing. And so we see in this Bible story, he's left Jericho and he's headed to Jerusalem. Preacher, where has he been? He's been to a terrible place. Why, he called up old Zacchaeus and he said, "Hey Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. For today, you must be down where I'm at, and I want to go to where you at and come to your house. So no doubt old Zacchaeus was probably coming out of Jericho with the Savior. Couldn't you imagine that little feller in the little bitty feller stature? He probably got lost in the crowd. And this morning, you may be here and think you're lost in the crowd, but Jesus knows right where you are. I bet he looked around and he said, well, over there stands old Zacchaeus, a man of little stature. He's following him now down to Jerusalem. Well, preacher, what's going on at Jerusalem? Oh, he's fixing to die for the sins of the world. Aren't you glad that Jesus hung on an old rugged cross that sinners could go free? I'm glad he took the time out of the passing. He could have had his mind on the cross and never would have had to stop. But I'm glad he stopped by and showed just what kind of Jesus he is. I'm glad he's not too troubled for us. I'm glad time is no priority to him. I'm glad whatever you're facing today, that Jesus will take time out and help you in the passing. Can I tell you, he's not too busy for your circumstance this morning. We see the way of passing. Jesus passed by. Oh, I'm glad Jesus come by. We see the need of passing. And then secondly, notice the number of passing. The Bible said in verse 46, and he said there was with his disciples and a great number of people. That's like Christendom today. There's disciples and then there's deserters. You see, there's always been a crowd that wanted to hang around Jesus, but they never really got in Jesus. And Jesus had never got in them. It was a great number that day, the number of the passing. Now, notice this. Every crowd ain't got Jesus in it. Thank God the number of passing. It was a number of other people. Could you imagine when he walked into Jericho and he had done saved several, restored the blind to many? Can you imagine the crowd of followers that Jesus had? Boy, I've noticed people today, they just really want what they can get out of it. But it ought to be our hearts this morning to be here to lift up Jesus and to praise Him and thank Him that one day He passed by. So we see in this way of passing, there's the need of passing. There's the number of passing. And then there is the name of passing. In verse 47, the Bible said, when old blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The name of passing. Now he cried out, thou son of David. That was his royal name. That was, as he the son of David, it was there for the children of Israel. As the in the lineage of David, he was going to sit and rule. But you know something? The Jews said, we don't want that king. So I'm glad it's another name in that verse. It has to do with me and you, the peasant people, the Gentile people. He not only went by his royal name, son of David, but I noticed the name there that helped me. Jesus of Nazareth. There's a lot of men called Jesus or Jesus. But there's only one Jesus of Nazareth that hung on an old rugged cross that died for the sins of this world that can help me and you out of our situation. And so we see the name of passing. Aren't you glad that Jesus is all you need this morning? You don't need to go to the dry out clinic. You don't need to go down there to the psychiatrist. You don't even need to go down yonder town to the marriage counselor. Why, Jesus can give you everything you need this morning. Jesus of Nazareth. I tell you what's wrong with this world. It's a Jesus problem. I tell you why it's a Jesus problem, because they don't know who He is. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus can fix any situation. You cannot show me any situation in that Bible or any situation in your home, at your job, at your life that Jesus can't fix. He can fix the situation. You see, we see the passing by. But then secondly, verse 46, not only do you see a passing by, you see a pitiful beggar. I won't say he was blind. Verse 46, the Bible said that they found blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now I want to tell you what this man was. He was a nuisance. Everybody in the town would look and say, my goodness, there's old Bartimaeus again. Down here begging. You know something? I'm glad that Jesus loves the outcast. I'm glad Jesus loves people that other people don't love. You see, if people don't fit our bill, we have a tendency to not like them. If people don't smell the way we like for them to smell, or look the way we like for them to look, or dress the way we like for them to dress, or drive what we like for them to drive, we just are so opinionated, ain't we? I done found out that Jesus don't do things your way or my way. And Jesus does things a lot of times that nobody else will do or can do. Now the whole town had said, there sits old blind Bartimaeus. The old blind beggar. Everybody knew who he was. Boy, isn't it amazing? Most everybody in the town, they know who the outcasts are. Boy, I'm glad Jesus loves them. Because I was, as the old preacher said, I was one of them. I was one of those kind of people. And so we see here not only this passing by, but we see this pitiful beggar. He was blind. You see, this is a lost person. We were all born spiritually blind. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we all had a blindness. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, a lost person is spiritually blinded. They're blind to their condition. You know, if people really seen them dying and going to hell, I believe they'd get saved, but they're blinded to their condition. People don't believe in hell no more. They really don't. You know, they say you can't build a church preaching on hell. Well, it's Jesus' church, and He's the builder. And so I'm just the preacher, and I'm telling you what He said. It's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And so we see that people are blind of their condition, and they're blind of their elements. And they're blind of their sin. Boy, sin's ugly when the light gets turned on. I didn't mind what I was doing until Jesus shined the light on it. And then I seen how ugly I was and how ugly what I was a-doing. The pitiful beggar. He was blind, and I want to say he was a beggar, but he was Bartimaeus. You know something? A lot of people may not know your name, but Jesus knows your name. Now, I don't know whether if maybe they, perhaps in your mind, you want to say, well, I tell you how come the Lord knowed he is Bartimaeus. It's because the people told him. But I'm going to tell you, it goes a lot deeper than that. Before the foundation of the world, when old Bartimaeus was born, his mom and daddy named him Bartimaeus because God had done picked that name out for him. You really believe in a God that sovereign? I assure you, there are no accidents in the family of God. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad we've got a sovereign God, but it does not do away with man's responsibility. You see, this morning we see the passing by and the pitiful beggar. Boy, I could just look out there, and I don't know about y'all, but I see these kind of people every day I go to town. Everywhere I go, I see people just like blind Bartimaeus. Oh, they in the honky-tonks and the taverns, and they living it up, and they think they having a ball. They're just blinded to the situation. Aren't you glad one day Jesus shined in your dark hour and gave you life by the Spirit of God. This morning you see there is a passing by. There's a pitiful beggar. But thirdly, verse 47, there's a powerful belief. He said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he had to have been in a Baptist assembly. Because many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, Brother Philip, you know what they said? You need to calm down a little. Said, you've been a little too loud. I'm glad I can go to church where you can get loud. And thank God ain't nobody calling nobody down for crying out. What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, I'm talking about not only the passing by and the pitiful beggar, but I'm talking about a powerful belief. Now in verse 47, watch your Bible. There's a positive call. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. He recognized and realized who Jesus was. I wonder, has it ever dawned on you who Jesus is? Why, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is your only way to heaven, friend. He's not some way, but He is the way. I love what I seen on TV. Good Morning America this week. They had something about religion and it caught my eye. Had a little 7-year-old boy there. He is a little doll baby son. He had him on a suit and tie. Yeah, you could tell that, and this is amazing. He was done a hacker at 7 years old. Ha! He's out of a Baptist church down here in the South. And they had him on Primetime America. Had his daddy standing there with him. And so the old commentator gal was sitting there and she said, well, now listen, I'm not a Christian. And so are you telling me that I can't go to heaven? And that little 7-year-old boy said, ha! Unless you're saved, you won't. Yeah, man! I'm saying Jesus is the way this morning, friend. He's not some way. He's not a way. He's the way. And if you bypass Christ, hell will be your home. I love that little kid. You ought to see him. You're talking about a baby doll. That little boy was precious. Praise God. Primetime America, 7 years old. He said, you must be born again. I don't know about y'all, but that's my kind of crowd. Thank God. And then some old educated idiot got on there and said, well, he's too young to be preaching. Well, he said more then than the average Baptist man will say all day today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, my powerful belief. You see, he seen Jesus of who he was. This world thinks Jesus is just somebody, just a prophet, just a good man. We live in a world that's so opinionated. But I tell you, you better be dropping them opinions, honey, and go to seeing what the Word of God says about Jesus. Oh, I'm glad He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother today. You say, brother, do you really believe that about Jesus? I believe about Him so much that I've quit everything I'm doing but Jesus. I mean, my whole life evolves around nothing except this Bible character. Must be something to this Jesus. I don't think 5 people could build this place. Must be something about Jesus. You got up this morning and woke up. Must be something about this Jesus. Must be something. He done put you in a new suit of clothes this morning. Must be something about this Jesus. He got you looking sort of like a Christian. Must be something about this Jesus. Powerful belief. A positive call. Jesus. And then a persistent cry. I want you to look what he done in verse number 47. The Bible said the persistent cry. He began to cry out. But verse 48. Many charged him to hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. I got right there by my outline this morning, since we got time. I'm not going to be preaching long. But I got an exclamation mark right there, a notation, to shout. What the Bible said, a great deal. Do you realize the deal you got?
What a great deal me and you got. That he'd take something like me and get something like him. Sound like I got a great deal. Man, he'd save something like you to get something like what he is. Sound like to me you got a great deal. Some of you left an old dead, dried up church. Mama squalling cause you left. Sound like to me you got a great deal. Oh, he cried no more. A great deal. I tell you what a sermon. He cried the more about a great deal. Oh, I'm glad the Lord saved me one day, folks. I've never got over the day the Lord saved me. A persistent cry. Verse 50, watch what he done. A personal cost. The Bible said, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Now listen, I don't know who ever told you that it wouldn't cost you something to serve Jesus, but they lied to you. It will cost you something to serve you. It'll cost you some family. Some of your family you done found out. Your church family is a lot closer than your blood family. Long as you was drinking their beer and smoking their cigarettes and telling their jokes, everything is good. But boy, when Jesus done something on the inside of you, you found out who is what and what is real. It will cost you something. It'll cost you some family. It'll cost you some friends, too. Let me tell you something. If you saved and that hell-going crowd's hanging around your house, something's wrong. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you by experience. You are who you run with. Man, back when I was lost and I had me a boat full of gas, they'd line up to go fishing with me. When I got saved, Brother Scott, just like my motor blowed up. Nobody wanted to go fishing. Man. You ought to have seen them folks that night at the fish fry down there at the Carrollton Bass Club. And my wife was there. God just called me to preach. But I had me a bait of it. And the whole thing was on there. And God said, you tell them what I just done for you. I said, oh, Lord, now here's all this crowd I've been running with. And Lord, you know the fish is ready. And they pause, ask somebody to have prayer, and you ask my wife, I'll never forget what was on that arm. I said, hey! Boy, it felt good when I said, hey. I said, I want to tell y'all the Lord saved me and he's called me to preach. Boy, they went to backing up. Son, fish got cold that evening. They thought I was crazy. Crazy. But not long. God got to be bigger than my boat. Bigger than my job. Bigger than anything that I ever got a hold of. What a great deal I got. The day the Lord saved me. What a great deal. What a great deal. You see, a powerful belief. A positive call, a persistent cry, a personal cost. It's going to cost you something to serve Jesus. But I want to say something. You'll be willing the price. You'll be so glad of the price that you've paid that day. You see, I've never give up nothing that it didn't give me manifold more in this present world and in the world to come. He said, by the way, he said, a man will never leave mother, father, a house or land that I won't give him manifold blessings in this life and the life to come. You see, it's not this life now I'm really thinking about. It's that and it's ahead of me. I like what the old feller said. Died and went to heaven. He said, you've been here a couple of weeks now. What have you found out? He said, well, I found out that everything that saved, I lost. And he said, I found out everything that I spent, I wasted. But he said, I found out everything I sent ahead, I have. This morning, I'm glad I got something waiting on me there. You see, there is a Powerful belief. Have you ever believed in Jesus this morning? Positive call, persistent cry, personal cost. But in verse 52, I love what the Bible says. It's a powerful cure. He said, and Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. When? Immediately. Let me share if you'd come. You mean, preacher, it didn't take a while? No. No, you see, the day you get saved, you'll get all of Christ that you'll ever get. But He just hadn't got all of you. Immediately. And I want to close with this point because I sure do like it. Not only a passing by, a pitiful beggar, a powerful belief, but lastly, a profound behavior. Look what happened to this man. Verse 52, you ever notice this? And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in some way. That's the NIV. No, he said in the way. So, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, he knew who to follow. He knew where to follow. And he knew how to follow. Now, you better mark this down, and I'm not going to be ugly when I say this. I'm just saying because I really believe with all my heart I got Bible to back it up. You claim to be saved. If you're not following Jesus daily, something's wrong with you. It don't take a... See, this is what... I'm supposed to lay her out there on the line now. You ready? And we go in the house. I'm supposed to give you something now. It's took me nearly 20 years of preaching to figure out, but I'm supposed to tell you something. These folks got saved the other day. I'm going to tell you the ones that got saved. You ready? Them that's here. You can't knock them off with a stick. You know them didn't get saved? Very simple. Them that ain't following Jesus. You see, when Jesus comes by and knocks on your heart and you believe and you receive the Lord Jesus, He comes in, He steps inside. Won't you look what the Bible says? This is what has just absolutely amazed me about Christendom in our country. I want you to turn, I usually quote it, but I want you to turn it and mark it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Let's let God be true and every man a liar. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm just simply saying what a profound behavior. He had never followed Jesus. Why? Because he couldn't see. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, who does that cover? Covers everybody. If any man, here it is, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Some of y'all going to church is new for you. You know why? Because you're in Christ now. Nobody got to call and beg you to come to church. Do they? You better listen to the preacher this morning. A lot of people's going to go to hell on religion. Oh, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says so does the devils in hell, and they tremble. You don't think the devil don't believe in Jesus? Well, sure he does. Let me tell you what Bible salvation is. Exactly what I read you this morning. We were blind. And by the way, he cried out for mercy. He didn't go to screaming about his rights. We ain't got no rights. I tell you the right we had to die and go to hell. You don't need your rights, you need mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love,
wherewith He has saved us. I'm glad that He's rich in mercy. He wasn't crying about His rights.
We as beggars on the side of the road, and Jesus come by, and we cried out. And you know something? I believe in the sovereignty of God as much as anybody in our area is preaching, but I also believe in man's responsibility. God will not force Himself in you. There's got to be a time you've got to call out to Christ. Let me ask you something. If He had ever not cried out, you think Jesus would have stopped? No. That cry stopped Him. Aren't you glad one day He let you cry out? Jesus was just walking on that crowd, and one old feller over there that nobody else really cared about, everybody else had forgot about, that was really a bother. You know what He done? Jesus! Thou Son of David, have mercy on me! And the Bible said, He stood still. And He called him and He said, bring him to me. Could you imagine them leading him up there to Him? Hand him off to Jesus. And when Jesus opened His eyes, can you imagine what He done? I love, Brother David, what one of the old writers said about this. He said, there was a man that went over in the East Country and he had performed an operation on a man had never seen, and it took and it worked and he restored his sight, and he looked up the next day and that old man in the village had a rope. Nine more was holding that rope and he is bringing them back to that surgeon. You see, people dying, going to hell in their sin. We ought to have that rope thrown out saying, grab on. I want to take you to a man that can. I want you to see what I'm seeing. I tell you why some of you can't get excited about Jesus. He don't live in you. Not being ugly, I'm just being plain. Won't you throw down your religion this morning and cry out to Jesus? You ought to cry out for mercy. You say, preacher, I want to know something. I've never been told this, so I want to know something. How do I get to heaven? Mercy. You mean me doing all this and working's not going to... No, it's not going to do nothing for you. We're saved by grace. What's grace, preacher? It's God coming by and giving you a chance to call out for mercy. And he took advantage of this. And boy, this writer said something that just astounded me when he said this. And I wrote it down. And this is what he said about when Jesus passed by. He said, why should anyone hear the good news twice before everyone has heard it once? In other words, he said, you better call out to Jesus while he's passing by. I'm glad he's here this morning. You say, Brother Ken, it's a different service today. It is, but Jesus is here.